Learn how to match your gift for the new studios of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org/newstudios.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Or I think of the immortal words of the Abatane martyrs killed under Diocletian when asked why they just wouldn't stop having the Sunday Eucharist as they were commanded. One of them simply said, "We have learned that we cannot live without this thing from the Lord."
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. You remember last time we started listening in on Jesus' marching orders to the 12 as he was sending them out, equipped with his very own authority. First order of business was that they were to restrict their work to the Jews, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And remember how sheep tied back to Jesus doing this as Israel's great shepherd. He sent them out with his royal kingly message, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Resurrection. They proved it by the miracles that he worked at their hands. He told them not to charge for their message or the miracles. He gave them to them freely. They were to pass them on freely and not use this as an opportunity to get wealthy. You can imagine how easy that would have been given the powers that they now evidenced. Remember, too, that the worthy are those who welcome what these men say, and the unworthy, those who dismiss them. The greeting of peace to the house, yet if a house finally turns them out and won't listen to their words, the dust shaken off their feet, the warning, it's going to go even easier for the arch cities of Sodom and Gomorrah on Judgment Day than for those folks. Ouch. Picking up then, a reading from St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." St. Matthew 10, verses 16 through 23. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name, abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So you're ready to dig into today's reading? Let's do this. Verse 16. "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." First thing you might notice is that many of the things Jesus says here seem to bleed over to the later ministry of the 12, and not just to be confined to this initial mission to the people of Israel. It almost entirely fits better with what will happen on the other side of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, which might mean that Jesus doesn't view the two sendings as really two, but only one. The lost sheep of the house of Israel, you see, can have the broader meaning of all those who come to share in the faith and hope of Abraham, no matter what their physical descent. Remember the big hay St. Paul made of that in Romans? And I think it actually fits here. St. Matthew will show Jesus making a similar point a few chapters down the road. As sheep in the midst of wolves, well, that sounds like a formula for disaster, doesn't it? Stop and think about the whole endeavor. Jesus takes these 12 men, though he loses one, and he sends them out with no earthly protection against those who are determined to silence them and end their lives. They will face opposition from their own people and from the Roman authorities. The wolves are legion, and they are few. But he's not worried. He knows it'll work, because they carry with them the word that endures forever. What does he mean by wise as serpents and innocent as doves? We might paraphrase that with, be crafty, but not to seek your own advantage, but rather to further the mission Christ has entrusted to you. Maybe this is what Paul pulled off when he made the officials in Philippi come and eat crow because they'd beaten a Roman citizen uncondemned. Remember how they beg him to leave town? And he just saunters over to visit for a while with Lydia and his fellow believers. And the not-so-subtle message is, hey, don't you be messing with these folk. They're under my protection. You don't want me reporting to the Roman authorities what you did to me, right? St. John Chrysostom, the teacher of Antioch in the late 4th century, he preached, for so long as we are sheep, we conquer. Though 10,000 wolves prowl around us, we overcome and prevail. But if we become wolves, we are worsted. For the help of our shepherd then departed from us. For he feeds not wolves, but sheep. And he forsakes you and retires, for neither do you allow his might to be shown. Because as he accounts the whole triumph his own, if you being ill-used show forth gentleness, so if you follow it up and give blows, you obscure his victory. Isn't that awesome? Verse 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. See what I mean about this fitting their post-resurrection work better? He sends them out to give nothing less than the gift of an eternal kingdom, redolent with the forgiveness of sins, fragrant with the joys of eternal life, equipped with miracles that stagger the mind in their sweet promise of resurrection. And for all this, what do they get? Jail and beatings. And Chrysostom says, this is to teach them that the victory is in suffering evil for the sake of good. By this means, their eternal trophies are prepared. Governors and kings. Like Governor Pilate and King Herod? That would all happen to Jesus himself. His fate, though they don't know it yet, was what he was foretelling for their future. So the apostle not in this group yet, St. Paul, would later bear witness before governors Festus and Felix and King Agrippa and finally the emperor himself. And notice the Gentiles. You see, the witness isn't complete until it reaches that extremity. Verse 19. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious about what you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, this is not the passage that says pastors shouldn't bother to write their sermons out. Ha! He's talking about the witness in the hour of trial, when you stand before the governor or the king, the man who has power to destroy your life. He says, the Spirit of your Father won't let you down in that moment. The words will come, and they'll be amazing. I think of old Polycarp being urged to spare himself due to his age, and how he answered, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king and my savior? Or I think of the immortal words of the Abatane martyrs killed under Diocletian. When asked why they just wouldn't stop having the Sunday Eucharist as they were commanded, one of them simply said, "We have learned that we cannot live without this thing from the Lord." So very many of these powerful words spoken by the martyrs remain and testify to this day of the fulfillment of what Jesus himself foretold for his 12, and by implication, for those who would come to share and believe the message the apostles brought. Verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. There's the old saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. I think it's unfair to limit it to women. You could read it, hell hath no fury like a brother scorned, a father scorned, a child scorned. Blood is not thicker than water. That horrible saying arose to imply that your family relationships should take priority over any baptismal relationships in the body of Christ. But when you're joined to Christ, when you belong to Jesus, you have no direct relationships with anyone anymore. And boy, may people ever resent that. You will be hated by all for my name's sake means because I've taken you to myself, and you now are my peeps, my family, my sisters, my brothers, my mothers, you're mine. So when they want and expect you to go against me in some matter, and you can't, and you won't, it's going to get ugly. He goes on. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The one who endures to the end will be saved. He says this later in the gospel too. Enduring the suffering by not giving up and not giving in, and all the while not ceasing to love. That's what he's after. He's not suggesting cowardice when it comes to fleeing, simply advising them not to throw their lives away needlessly. Here's how St. Cyril of Alexandria, that staunch confessor of Christ in the 5th century, explained it. In saying this, he is not telling his disciples to be cowardly. He is telling them not to cast themselves into dangers and die at once, for that would be a loss to those who otherwise would benefit from their teaching. You see, St. Paul, he does this all the time, moving on again and again in Acts. What are we to do with that last bit, though? You won't have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Here's where I think we're really helped if we remember that Jesus will teach us that Israel is bigger than the physical descendants living in a certain geographic location. Instead, it will be all whom his apostles' words will gather to himself via baptism. So he lays a job on them that's never going to have a termination in this age, until the Son of Man, remember that divine person revealed in Daniel 7, Jesus' usual appellation of himself, comes in his glory. The church's apostolic mission, the gathering of the Israel of God together, keeps on keeping on. There's where we're going to have to wrap it up today, people loved by God. Till the next time, when we get to hear Jesus put the fear of the disciples to flight with his promises. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.